Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name's Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org, and you might want to go there today and check it out. If you missed yesterday's program, it was kind of a one-of-a-kind, one-day topical study. The main topic was the virgin birth, although in 2 hours you could imagine that we covered a lot of other things. So if you missed that, go to the website there and look for that study either yesterday or if you're listening to this later in the year or some other time, I'm sure I'll have a link up there so that you can listen to that study on the virgin birth. Today, we're going to start a new study in the book of Daniel. As some of you already know, which I've told you before, that we would be going here. The book of Daniel. Let me bring up my e-sword here, and we'll jump right into the text. Daniel 1:1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. You know, I've read Daniel before, and I've read it many times before because I'm trying to understand it and hearing all of the conflicting reports about the prophecies in Daniel. So it's a book that many people are curious about. But when they dive into it, you know, some of it is, you know, historical parts, and they're easy to understand. But when you get into the prophetic parts, well, it becomes somewhat difficult, especially if you start listening to other people. And even if you read it for the first time and you haven't heard any of the theories out there, although that's difficult, or you haven't understood any of the theories, that's easy. It's easy to not understand the theories because you listen to some of these self-proclaimed prophecy teachers and boy, you know, it's so complicated that you just have to take the word for it because you can't understand it. Even if you read along with it, you go, well, I guess that sounds good, you know. But don't buy into anything, you know. Just, you know, if you don't know something, just say, well, it sounds good, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not buying any theory, any prophecy theory, just because it sounds good and someone, you know, did a little hop, skip, and a jump through the scripture to build a theory up and make it sound good over the air so that they could sell a book or whatever they're doing or get donations for their prophecy ministry. And then there's plenty out there. They got them on the TV. They got them on the radio. They're there if you want. And you can even get a tax deductible donation for that. But not here. We're not going to do that here. But we are going to talk about some of those theories. But I don't think we're going to buy into any of them. And we certainly aren't looking for tax-deductible donations. But, you know, I read Daniel 1:1 many times, and yeah, okay, so what? It was the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came into Jerusalem and besieged it. And, you know, I found out that is a very, that's a key verse in the scripture. It doesn't sound like a key verse. I read it so many times, and it never popped out at me before. Until I did a study in the calendar, because I wanted to find out what year is it according to the Bible. You know, what a question. What year is it? You know, 2007, but what or 8? What does that mean, though? 2008 from what? And who decided, and why did they decide that? And now why do I have to go back 2008 years and then start counting backwards? You know, that's kind of nonsensical to me. And they had their reasons with the Gregorian calendar and all of that stuff for setting all that up. I reckon they did. I'm sure some of their reasons were not biblical. Actually, none of them were biblical because if we go to the scripture, we see that his calendar was put in the sky. And that's proclaimed in Genesis 1 and throughout the scripture that he put his calendar in the sky. You want to know, what time of day it is? Well, you can look at the sun. You want to know what time of year it is? Well, you know what time of year it is by where the sun is in the sky. You want to know what month it is? And there's a funny question, you know, what month is it? And that's one of the new web pages on my website at Cross the Border, I asked the question, what month is it? But we're not going to talk about the month today, but you can go over there and you can see the little information I have on the month there, which should give you a clue, you know, because we have the three witnesses that will witness with what I'm saying there. And I like to stick with the three witnesses and kind of not go beyond that, because anything beyond that is speculation. And as I was saying about self-proclaimed prophecy teachers out there, there's a lot of speculation that goes beyond the three witnesses here. But we're going to stick to the three witnesses. That is the Word, the Spirit, and creation. They're all going to agree with each other, and then we can call it doctrine. You know, we can call it truth. Okay, so if you, what year it is, and I'm getting back to Daniel 1:1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. So if you go to my website and you, under my banner on the front page, you'll see a link that says, what year is it? And when I began my study, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, that you'll see that'll come up in a PDF format when you click on that link. You'll see that I have three columns in this study. The first column is a scripture reference. The second column is the number of years that I derive from that scripture reference. And the third column is the number of years from creation. And I was zooming along fine, going through the genealogies, and then from the genealogies, we jumped over to the captivity, because we were given a captivity. And then in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, he told us it was 480 years from the day that the children came out of Egypt. So, wow, voila, I added 480 years to that. So I've got a calendar, you know, from the scripture up to Solomon's reign in his fourth year. So then from there, I jump over to the Chronicles, to 1 Kings and 2 Kings, because there it says who was king and how long they reigned. So I started up adding up those years as I did the genealogy after that. And I got up to Jehoiakim was 25 years old in 2 Kings 23:36. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign. And his reign, he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem and his mother's name and so forth. So he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. Okay. He was 25 years old and he reigned 11 years. So I added 11 years and that's where the calendar stopped. It stopped with Jehoiakim because there were no more kings in Judah. Judah was taken captive by Babylon. And of course, the northern kingdom was gone. And it was, he reigned 11 years. So after his 11-year reign, it was 3,540 years from creation. Check it out yourself if you want to know what I'm looking at. You go to crosstheborder.org. Under the banner on the front page, you'll see what year is it. And in the third column, you get down to 2 Kings 23:36, and you find out that after the 11 years of Jehoiakim's reign, the total years is 3,540 years. And then I was lost. Now, what do I do? And then, that's where this Daniel 1:1 verse comes in. It's a key verse in dating the scripture. Because it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Aha! So if he reigned 11 years, but in the third year the king of Babylon came in, if I minus 9 years from my 3540, I come up with 3531. So we know in the year 3531, you have to give or take a few years, because if you go through the genealogies and you go through the reigns of the kings, you'll find out a peculiar thing. It doesn't tell us exactly how many days, years, months, and days they reigned. It just rounds it off in the number of years. So it could be minus or plus up to, who knows, you know, 20, 25, 50 years. It's hard to tell at this point. But we have a good round figure. We know we're in the ballpark. If we say that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it in the year 3531, because that's what we get from adding up the straight years that are given us in the scripture to that time. So from the time that Adam was created to 3531, That's how many years it was from the creation. And of course, you add 6 days for Adam because we're going for, so the 6 days, we're already plus or minus, 25 to 50 years. Who knows? Because of the way that it's given to us. And I think our Heavenly Father did that on purpose. Okay, so we got there. And now, here's a funny thing. I started looking into Daniel, and the accepted date for Daniel being taken captive was 605 BC. And if you minus 70 years captivity, this gives us more than the 70 weeks to the Messiah. But that's another study, and I just wanted to get up to this verse, so I'm going to capsulize the rest of this for you. And the reason this verse is key in dating the scripture, Daniel 1:1, the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, was we know that that started the count for the 70 years of Sabbaths that Judah or Israel was taken captive for. And if you go to Daniel 9:2, in the first year of his reign, speaking not of Nebuchadnezzar, but of the next king, or one of the other kings, Daniel understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of Yahuwah came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So Daniel, 70 years later, was looking for his freedom. He was looking for the liberation that was promised by Jeremiah the prophet from Babylon. So we add our 70 years to the year that Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem. And then we add our 490 years, or 70 weeks of 7 years, to that, and we come to the Messiah. And that's how we date the calendar up to the Messiah. The scripture gives us all of that, from creation to the Messiah. It gives us to the year, not to the day and month, but to the year. And then after that, well, we're kind of on our own. And we know that it's approximately 2,008 years from 34 BC, the year that the Messiah was born. So we can add that up. And I'm not sure about the 2008 years. I'm not sure that that is accurate, because I know the calendar has been worked over and changed. That's got to be a few years off. But we know we're in the ballpark. We know that we're within 100 years on the calendar if we do this method. And that's as close as I can get. I know there are people out there who've done it, and they go, I know exactly what year it is. And you'll see all the date setters in prophecy. They'll be setting dates because they're sure of what year it is. But the truth is, I have the Word, I have His Spirit, and I have creation. And I have the evidence that's part of creation, the evidence that I have. And all of these agree that I'm within 100 years, and unless I have more evidence, I can't get any closer than that. So that's where I land, and that's how we're going to do this Bible study. And if you've been with me, you know that that's how we do the Bible study. We're not going to accept speculation as doctrine. At least I'm not. I don't want you to either. It is not necessary, because whatever the Heavenly Father has given us is more than is necessary for doctrine and faith. We have more than we need. We don't need to speculate. We can speculate, but let's accept the truth of what that speculation is. It is only speculation. So anyway, that's how we get to, I come to Daniel 1:1 as a key scripture in His Holy Word. And that's because it's part of His dating system from creation to Christ. So do take a look at that document on my website, crosstheborder.org. Under the banner on the front page, you'll see a link that says, What Year Is It? And I hope you'll enjoy that study. And you'll see on there that I ask for help if anyone has any more information, if anyone has any studies on the calendar. For instance, I'm looking for a study on, because the Jewish calendar has a date that doesn't jibe with my three witnesses. So I want a study on how they come to their conclusion of what year it is. And so I'm looking for more information on the calendar. So if anyone comes across anything, send me a link to it. Send me that information in an attachment, whatever it takes. But I'm very interested in that. Okay. Now we're going to leave that alone, at least for the time being. And we're going to jump back into our study with Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. In the third year of the reign I think my mic is a little too hot to pull that down a little bit. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And Yahuwah, and it says here, the Lord. Actually, now Daniel is a little different in his usage of the words. He's using here the word Adonai, which I believe the best translation that we have is Lord. So, you know, we're gonna use that. I'm gonna say the Lord where it says Adonai instead of the name of the Creator, unless I see the name of the Creator. And, you know, these are things that we want to know. Like I said, you know, we're into the Word, and a lot of people, oh, you know, why do you bother, you know, going into the name of the Creator? People are going to think you're weird. It sounds weird, you know, but, you know, let's be serious Bible students. Let's look at the different nuances in the Scripture. Our Heavenly Father put them in there for a reason. And even though we may not understand, you know, at the time, we should take note rather than gloss over and ignore them because they're uncomfortable. Okay, so it says, and the Lord, and that is Adonai, gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, unto the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning, and knowledge, and understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So we've got the king of Babylon here, Nebuchadnezzar. He takes Babylon, and he's going to carry off, you know, the wise men and the princes of Judah and bring them into his kingdom and use their knowledge. Now, it's kind of like during World War II when finally the Third Reich, or I guess it's the Third Reich, Germany was taken down. They exported all of the scientists and so forth from Germany, and most of them came to America and worked on projects here. That kind of thing, you know? We're going to take their knowledge. We're going to take their men with all the skill and understanding, and we're going to treat them well so that we can get their understanding. And that's basically what the king is doing here. And he brings them to Babylon, the land of Shinar, and teaches them the tongue of the Chaldeans. So we know that the Chaldeans, the land of Shinar, and Babylon are fairly synonymous terms here. And so you need to pay attention to these things too. Otherwise, you get confused. You start reading all these names and you don't know that they're all referring to basically the same thing. It's just three ways of saying, you know, like America, we speak English and we might be called Americans, and we're in the land of North America, or I might be a Michigander or a Californian in the land of North America. So there's three terms there referring to the same people. So the king, in verse 5, he appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And what I'm thinking here is that because they were besieged in Jerusalem, that many of them were probably sickly and very weak. So we get this little bit of information here. But now, verse 6, it says, now, and I would say but now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they were of the tribe of Judah. That's the information we're getting here. Verse 7, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, and he renamed them. And, you know, we talked about this before, too, renaming somebody. When you own something, you can rename it. You know, it's like, you know, you get a horse, you buy a horse, you can change the horse's name. The horse is not going to object, and everybody's going to call that horse by whatever name you gave it. You have a child, you're the father, you're given dominion over that child, you get to name it. You know, or at least by Yahuwah's law, you get to name it. So naming something is a sign of ownership. And yes, he took them, the king took them captive. He owned these men. He took them and he owned them now. And so he renamed them. He had dominion over them. They were his people. So among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah Shadrach, and note these names, and unto Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. So we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These names come up later. And the names are important. And, you know, that's another thing that to look at when you're going through the scripture. And we've discussed this before, so I'm going to discuss it briefly in case we have any new people in here. The names of these children, the children of Judah, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 6, the name of Judah. If we go to the, if you have your e-sword out, and you mouse over the number H3063 next to the name of Judah, you'll find out that it says that it is Yahudah. And Yahudah, well, we know if we were there when he was named, and it's recorded for us, so you really didn't have to be there, but speaking figuratively, if you went through the scripture with me, when Judah was born, his mother named him Praise Yahuwah, or Praise God, or God's Praise, because she said, God, praise God, for he has given me another son, something like that. And now I will be, you know, more favorable in my husband's eyes, something like that. So his name means praise God, or actually it's praise and the name of the creator, Yahudah. So his name and the people of Judah were called the Yahudim. So they have the name of the creator praise. So we have, they were the children of Yahudah, and it's translated, of course, in the authorized King James Version as Judah, but there is no J. And Daniel is another interesting name, Daniel, and it means judge of God. Hananiah, which is really Cananyahu. And see, there we see again in the name of the creator, Yahu, at the end of it. So we know that it means favored of God, or favored of Yah, or actually it says here in the Hebrew, in Strong's, it says Yah has favored. So it's favor and the name of the creator, Yah. So in the Hebrew, it is pronounced Can-an-Yahu. And then we have Mishael in the Hebrew, Mishael, which, let's see, what does that mean? Of course, the name El is the Elohim, as in Daniel. So it's there, it's the term, like we use God rather than the name. I could say Yahuwah as his name, or I could say Yahuwah is my God. And in the Hebrew, I would say Yahuwah is my Elohim. And I think it's important to understand these things. It's interesting at least, but I believe that it gives us a better understanding to know what we're reading and how it was written when the word was given. And that's important, because I often say that the King James Version is not the Word of God. It is a translation of the Word of God. So what we're looking for is the Word of God, what it was translated from. And that opens up the scripture a lot more to us. So anyway, there we have the names. And then the third one is, who is God? That's what Mishael means. Who is God? Well, what a name. And we're going to jump into verse 8 when we get back from these messages. Don't go anywhere. And I hope you're enjoying this study as much as I am.